Okay, DubCNN, this is an exclusive. We have Wendy Day to DubCNN.com. How are you doing?
I am awesome. Thank you for asking.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking a few minutes of your time. I wanted to kind of get right into it because I know you just came back in from out of town. So I wanted to ask you, in terms of music nowadays, how the digital age, you know, how does it benefit artists both on the major and independent side of things, in your opinion?
On the independent side, and I'm going to start with the independent side because that's my preference.
Right.
On the independent side, the way that the digital revolution has benefited artists, first of all, it's made it cheaper to record music, substantially cheaper. In today's economy, pretty much anybody that wants to be a recording artist is able to make their own music in their home, upload it to their computer, and get it on the net almost instantaneously. And that's something that we didn't have even, you know, a short 5 or 10 years ago.
Right.
So I think that the accessibility of the internet allows people to get their music out there quickly. It's cheaper to make it, and it's even easier to market it. You know, back in the day, you had to sort of go out on what they called the Chitlin circuit, where you went from town to town, city to city to market and promote. And although you still do have to kind of do that if you're going to take this seriously, somebody who's not quite as serious can sit in their house and pretty much never leave and, you know, create the music, market the music, and get it out there to the public.
Gotcha. On the Power Moves tab on your WendyDay.com site, you made the comment, why just put out a record when you can build an empire?
Exactly.
Do you think that that's the major fault with MCs? They don't have the long-term goals in mind when they start?
Well, yes and no. I think a lot of people don't have the long-term vision, but there's also a lot of artists that just don't have business sense. You know, I'm not so naive to think that every rapper can start their own record label. You know, it takes a certain skill set to be able to market and promote, as well as raise the money to start a record label. So I don't want to be naive in my thinking and say that, gee, every rapper should put out their own record, but the ones who have the ability should definitely do that. I mean, the days are over when you send a demo to a record label, they listen to it, they love you, and they sign you, and you get a really good deal, and you become a star.
Okay. Now, kind of along the same lines, when you said that not all MCs are cut out to be, you know, have that business savvy, you have a saying that team plus grind equals success. Does that kind of go into what you meant by that statement there?
Exactly. That's exactly what I mean by that statement. People that don't have the business savvy should find people that do. And when I say find people that do, I don't mean your boy or your cousin or, you know, your best friend's dog's brother's
right.
sister. It means find the best person for that job. You know, whatever that job entails, find the person that's able to fulfill that need, you know, within your area and make it happen for yourself.
Okay. Now, with the barriers to entry and whatever industry somebody might be in, music is no different to that. So with the digital age being able to kind of help to counteract some of that barrier to entry that used to exist way back in the, you know, years ago, how does somebody go about not only surviving but thriving in the current market today with that independent mindset?
Well, although the economy has changed and the barrier to entry is reduced, it's still a business, and it's still the way that I work with artists is still the same. I mean, of course, I add the internet component, you know, the World Wide Web, but for the most part, it's still the same. You know, choosing a target area, marketing within that area, going from place to place. That's why I had referenced earlier when I said somebody who takes this seriously is still going to need to go out and grind,
right,
as opposed to just sitting in their house and uploading music to the internet. But for me, my artists still all have the same grind that they always did. It's the same, you know, it's the same shit, different day, basically.
Right. So in that grind, when there's so many different components and elements to it, how important is the DJ to an artist's success?
Extremely important. You know, DJing goes back to the beginning of rap. You know, I come from the era of rap where the DJ was was actually more important than the rapper was. And that still exists today because showmanship carries so much weight in this industry. You know, when you can actually perform and the fans can see you, they're more likely to go buy and support your record.
Right.
And I think a lot of the problems that we have with rap shows is that they're a little bit boring. And a lot of people will rock off a dat or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And it loses that component of showmanship that the DJ brings to it. If you look at some of the larger tours that go out, you know, pretty much everybody has a DJ. And that shows you the importance of it.
Okay. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you, kind of veering off, I know you've been doing this for a while in terms of helping artists and labels and whatnot. Now, walk me through the first time you ever that you ever went through helping an artist or a label, and that experience, and how is
wow, I don't know that I could. It was so long ago. I mean, I've been doing this for 16 years, and I've, you know, worked with hundreds of artists. I guess probably one of the first projects that I worked on was Do or Die. They had a song called Po Pimp. They were out of Chicago, and I was working with a label called Creator's Way. And Creator's Way had Do or Die signed to them, and they had Twista signed to them. And I had attended a convention in Baltimore that basically, it was a 3-day seminar that basically taught people how to put out a record. And I went and I took notes and I paid attention and flew to Chicago and said, come on guys, let's put out this record. And we decided to put it out independently. Back then you were able to put out a single and profit from it. So we put out a single as opposed to an album, and the labels came running when they saw the numbers that these guys were doing. They were selling, you know, hundreds of thousands of singles in Chicago. The labels came running, and there was a tremendous bidding war, and Rap-A-Lot actually won the bid. And then we repeated that success with Twista with a song called Emotions. We just followed the same formula, and it worked.
Now, how did that, I'm sure it must have felt really good to be able to take the things, the lessons that you learned or when you were sitting there and taking notes and doing that, and being able to apply them successfully.
Sure. I mean, you still need to do that today. If you're gonna put out a record and you're gonna be relevant in today's marketplace, you still need to sit down and make a plan. You know, you need to figure out exactly what your target area is going to be. It needs to be an area that you can drive from place to place within a certain amount of time. The way that I do it is I figure out what my target area is, and then I draw a circle around that area, and I usually use a 5 or 6 hour driving radius because that's the territory that you would be able to work efficiently with a decent budget. And I make sure that the artists go from town to town, city to city, and work the record. And by work the record, I mean work it on the street level, hang their own posters, put flyers in the high schools and in the stores. You know, basically just build the image and the awareness of the artist within that 6-hour radius.
Okay. I read where you said before that very few people win. Is there anybody that you worked with that was really trying as hard as they could that fell short, that really surprised you?
Wow. Probably Raz Kaz.
Yeah.
That
one kind of sticks in my mind too. I'm glad you mentioned that because he's somebody that you had high expectations of for years and years now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he didn't work for numerous reasons, you know, many of which I wouldn't go into on the record. But, you know, Raz is my favorite rapper. He still is today. And I never quite understood, you know, why. Everybody said, oh, he's too intelligent. I never understood why there wasn't a market for overly intelligent rappers. I never understood why the art form had to be dumbed down in order for it to sell well.
Exactly. Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day when you... I remember years ago reading an article where I think it was Biggie or maybe it was Jay-Z that said he felt he had to dumb down his lyrics a little bit.
It was Jay. Mm-hmm.
In order to get that mainstream success, and I always, you know, always wondered about that.
Yep, it was Jay that said that. In fact, there's a couple of lines in different songs where he references, you know, Common, and he references Talib Kweli,
right.
And he basically mentions that the reason they're not more successful is because they never dumbed down their lyrics.
Exactly. Now, out of all the artists that, and I know you've been a part of, you know, you had a hand in that, in the Cash Money deal and countless others. I mean, you, obviously your reputation speaks for itself. Which one are you, is there any, a couple, two or three that stick out as like the ones that you're kind of most proud of? Would it be maybe that?
I guess there's probably two or three that I'm most proud of. Of course, the Cash Money deal, because they got to keep ownership.
Right.
You know, it was an 80-20 split. They got to keep 80%. When the deal was up after 3 years, if they had wanted to leave with all of their masters, they could have. And, you know, that's unheard of in the music business. So I'm very proud of that one. And that one really was because the guys let me do my thing. You know, they let me tell labels no for 9 months until we got to a point where the deal was worthy of them. And they were smart enough to let me do my thing. And, you know, I appreciate them for that. I'm pretty proud of Eminem's deal as well. You know, when I was shopping Eminem in 90, I guess it was 96 or 97, it was 97, I took him to every label. I mean, every label. And everybody passed. And everybody passed because he was a white rapper.
Right.
And, you know, so many people said to me, oh, Vanilla Ice, Vanilla Ice, Vanilla Ice. So we sat down and we figured out another tact, you know, another way to get him exposure so that people could see that he really did have talent. And I ended up doing a thing called Rap Olympics, which was an event out in Los Angeles that was the catapult that got him, you know, his deal with Aftermath. So I'm really proud of that, the fact that we didn't take no for an answer, because technically he could have stopped rapping and gone to work at Burger King.
Right.
You know, he was financially devastated at that time, and he needed to do something, and I'm just thankful that we had that opportunity.
Good.
You know, I'm real proud of David Banner's deal, too. Banner's somebody that was really close to me. You know, he even lived with me for 6 months when he was homeless, and his deal I'm proud of because the deal that he had signed when I met him, actually before I met him, was the most oppressive deal I've ever seen in my history of Rap Coalition. And I've been doing this for 16 years, so I've seen some really fucked up deals. And his deal, without a doubt, hands down, is the worst.
Wow.
He ended up giving away more than 100% of himself.
Wow.
To the production company that he was signed to. And when I met him in 1998, right after I'd done the Cash Money deal, and I remember looking at all his paperwork thinking, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to sort all this out. It's just so, it's so oppressive, and it's so deep, and it's so thick. And, you know, it took a couple years. We ended up, he was signed to Penalty, although Penalty and Tommy Boy weren't really the problem. It was the production company that was in between the label that were the problem. We ended up getting rid of the production company. He went right to Tommy Boy eventually. Tommy Boy gave it their best shot. They just didn't really understand Southern rap at the time. I guess they still don't. They didn't really understand Southern rap. But, you know, in fairness, Tom Silverman really gave it 100%. You know, he gave it his best try. And then he was kind enough to let Banner walk. We bought his masters back from Warner Brothers. And then we revamped him and put his record out independently and caught the attention of Steve Rifkin. You know, and I'm really proud of the fact that, you know, I remember sitting at my desk in 98 in tears thinking, oh, my God, I'm never going to be able to sort this kid out. This, you know, this deal is just so incredibly fucked up. And, you know, it took a while. It took till 2003, but, you know, 5 years is not really a long time to wait when you're trying to build that kind of a career, become, you know, a million-dollar enterprise that David Banner is. You know, he's a multimillionaire.
Yeah, you mentioned just a minute ago about one of the things that Cash Money did was they let you do your thing. Even with all your, even with your track record, do you still encounter people that want your services? That
all
still...
day, every day. All day, every day. It's the craziest shit. It's like somebody hiring a plumber, and then the plumber gives them advice on how to fix their pipes, and they don't listen. Or they hire the plumber, and then they say, okay, come over here and fix my electricity. It's like, what? Like, why would you spend all this money to hire me and then not listen to me?
Right.
And there's a lot of deals that I walked away from because I felt that people didn't listen. You know, know, I was working with Trill Entertainment on Boosie and Webby's deal, and I walked away before we did the deal with Asylum because I just didn't think it was a good deal. I didn't think they understood, and I decided to walk away rather than hurt my reputation.
Right. Well, that, I guess.
Hot Boys. They had a song called "Party Like a Rock Star," which was huge, and I just felt that the production company didn't really understand how the music business worked. I didn't feel like he understood the opportunities. You know, he saw only the money, and I walked away from that situation as well. I didn't want my name attached to something that I knew would be a one-hit wonder. And sadly, you know, both of those deals have become what I predicted. I wish I was wrong. You know, I wish I was wrong because there's lives at stake.
True, true. So, going along those lines, how full is your plate these days?
I guess it depends. I guess the real answer to that is it's as full as I keep it.
Right.
You know, I'm a workaholic, so I like being busy at all times. Right now I'm working with Young Buck, trying to help him with his situation at G-Unit.
Okay.
It's going pretty positive. You know, 50's being open-minded and listening, and Buck is open-minded and listening, and, you know, I'm somewhere in the middle trying to make sense of it all. I'm working with a label out of Houston called TMI Boys, and their record just dropped this week, which is very exciting. I've been working with them for a little over a year. So I guess the real answer is, you know, I'm as busy as I keep myself.
Okay. So any last words for Dub CNN?
Keep doing what you guys are doing. You know, I love Dub CNN. I think that you guys are on the leading edge of this, and you know, you guys come to this with an extreme intelligence, and there's just very few websites out there that are intelligent in hip hop. And I love what you do, and I love what I do, and you know, I'm happy that we can be in this industry together.
And people can stay abreast of kind of what's going on or your thoughts and ideas on WendyDay.com, right?
Exactly. WendyDay.com is sort of like the central website. I've got five websites and two blogs or three blogs, and people are always complaining that, you know, it was hard to find them all, so I linked them all together in January. So you can go to WendyDay.com, and it sort of links all the websites together. There's websites there for artists. There's websites for indie labels. There's, you know, my blogs. I think Ricky Ross's blog, not the rapper, Ricky Ross, yeah, Freeway Ricky.
Right.
But I think his blog is linked there. So you can really, you know, you can really go there and see a bunch of different opinions from different people and stuff about the industry.
Well, once again, I want to thank you, and I know Dub CNN thanks you, and hopefully we can hook up again down the road.
Thank you, love, and thanks for your patience with me. I'm a little bit tired tonight, so I wasn't as fluent as I usually am.